But yeah, speaking of hands, it was one of my favorite bits. I saw Infinity War twice. My favorite bit seen the second time is whenever Thanos chokes out a couple people, uh-huh. and you can tell they don't know what to do. Like, his hand's so big, they don't know how to, like...
like, what to
so
do with it.
So, basically, he grabs you with these pinchers, and then these other two fingers are like, I don't know where these
the
are going to go.
The pinky and the ring finger
yeah,
just are lost.
What's going to happen with
it's
these?
It's weird that they couldn't look up, like, some type of, like... There's people with big hands.
It's funny when you do a movie like this, and then you're trying to get the CGI as good as they do, that you realize, like, the body proportions of certain comic characters are hilarious.
Yeah.
Right. Like seeing again, like when Thanos like sits down and he's talking to Gamora, it's like that's not how bodies work. That's not your arms look way
you're
too tiny.
Cartoon. You're a giant cartoon
your
man.
Muscles are insane.
It's just like overflowing on the chair.
Yeah, it's just like that's it just looked weird.
Yeah. No, I mean
and Josh Brolin's killing it in the performance. It's
oh,
just one
so
of those
good,
you look
yeah.
at it, it's like I'm pretty sure that's not how.
Did we introduce the podcast?
No, not yet.
Oh shit.
No. Welcome back to We Stayed Late. We got a little special guest with us today.
Hello, who is it?
I don't know. You tell me.
My name is DJ Wooldridge.
Yeah.
I did not stay late.
You didn't. You came.
I left early. or on time. Or punched out on time. However you want to.
Luis is staying late tonight. He's
yeah,
staying
Luis,
late at work.
Luis got trapped. We Luis got like messages right before like, I'm not going to make it. And I sent pouty faces.
Tell me what he's working on.
I can't tell you what he's working on. I would get shot.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would be strangled like every character in
Avengers Infinity War. Spoilers.
Yeah, by the way, this episode is going to have a lot of spoilers in
okay.
it, 100%.
Yeah, because I saw it on Friday, and I messaged Luis and Spencer immediately afterward. I'm like, are we doing a podcast next week? Because I have words and thoughts, and I need you guys to see it.
And we've been so swamped at work. Like, we've literally been working until like 8 or 9 every night. Like, just nuts. And
sounds like fun.
It's really fun. So last week we were just like all so busy that we couldn't do it. And I was like, we have to do it this week because we have to talk about Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reached out and we're like, hey.
Yeah.
Because you're doing, talk about your comic real
quick. Yeah, so I'm doing volume 2 of my comic, Chaos Theory,
Woo!
Zombies versus Dinosaurs. It delivers exactly what the title promises. You
versus
got zombies.
Versus aliens, right?
Yeah, there aliens are showing up for this one. Don't worry, it makes sense. So that's not it. That's actually just the tip of the iceberg. Like if you go to the Kickstarter, you can find it at chaostheorycomic.com. Or you can go to Kickstarter and just type in Chaos Theory and it'll be there. And the stuff I was worried about spoilers, but the stuff I show in the campaign is just like the tip of the iceberg. Like it's a 5-issue instead of just the big one shot. I went through a 5-issue. It's going to be at least 100 pages.
Cool.
So each issue, each chapter, I tried to make it as if it was its own blockbuster movie.
Cool.
So it's a
That's
lot.
Awesome.
It's a lot in each of those.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting crazier as it goes on. And it's gotten crazier as I've been writing and me and the artists have been working on it.
Yeah.
So it's a big audacious project. It's the biggest project I've ever tried to do, especially on a crowdfunding site. So please come support it.
Yeah. Go get it.
ChaosTheoryComic.com. Also, if you go and support it, there's a comment section on Kickstarter. Say, hey, I'm from We Stayed Late, and you'll get a bonus reward.
Oh man.
Yeah. Ooh. The lovely Starling Hodge. Made a map.
I did.
A postcard map of the first issue is called Undead States of America.
Great.
And so she did a map of...
You were the first person that reached out to me when I was like, I need freelance. You were like, hey, you want to do that map? I was like, hell yeah.
yeah, so it shows what's been happening in the United States post-zombie apocalypse.
That's great.
It's not great for but it's great for readers.
Yeah, it's great for readers. That's what I want.
So if you want that map, go contribute 25 plus because $25 or more because $25 is the physical tier where I'll be shipping
you
something.
That's where you get the
and
book.
So if you let me know in the comments, just say, hey, we stayed late. Boom. I'm going to throw that postcard map in there.
That's great.
And you'll get an extra bonus reward, $25 or up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm super excited for you.
Thank you.
I know that I know the endeavor and it is, it's really great because the first one is so good. I mean, I had so much fun with it. And
there
I'm just
are
happy that you're able to, you know.
Yeah, if you missed volume one, there are tiers where you can get volume
That's
one
right.
along
I saw
with
that.
It,
yeah,
so
you
can
get
the whole
included.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
I don't
awesome.
you don't necessarily need the whole thing,
right?
But why wouldn't you
want
to have
yeah,
it?
You
if you don't have
you
it.
You
kind of
want the whole thing.
Yeah,
awesome.
The first
it'd
one's
really,
great.
It's like
really good.
There's not like
and
18
$25 is like
yeah
amazing for over 100. Like
yeah,
yeah. That's a deal,
especially for indie stuff.
Trying. So I'm excited
I'm
about it.
I have some questions for you afterward about some Kickstarter stuff.
Yeah. It's fun, and but it's super super challenging. This one was the it was a lot to get it
so
ready and make
you,
sure it was what hopefully what people want.
If you don't want to answer this on the podcast, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Are you paying the artist beforehand and then getting all the pages done beforehand and then raising the money, or are you raising the money to pay?
We're starting issue 4.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm already in the whole 3 issues.
Got it. Okay. So you're basically doing it. You're basically going for it.
I mean, if the campaign doesn't get funded, it'll stop it.
Yeah, totally. I was just wondering how you're doing that, because I know some people like put the concept art up and then go fund this, and if it doesn't fund, then we're not going to.
Well, this
do
is
it,
a special thing just for your listeners. My original plan was to launch the campaign in February.
Oh wow!
So I geared everything to be in February to know whether it was happening or not, and once I decided to push it, I didn't want to put my artist on pause.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that adds a little extra layer of tension in my life.
Right. Because you don't want to lose, if you're like, hey, by the way, pause, and then he takes up another project. Then
yeah.
Like, oh,
so,
especially because he's real good.
Yeah. So there's that extra layer of tension in that I'm in the hole a little bit more than I anticipated
before
the campaign.
So if you're on the fence.
Yeah.
Definitely go fund it so DJ doesn't have to eat ramen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to go back to the ramen lifestyle.
You don't have to come
Listen,
back to
again, this. I punched out on time, right? So,
well, I'm sure it's going to be funded. And when you do and you need like that packing party.
Yeah,
let
us know.
Hopefully I do, because there's going to be, if everything works out, there's going to be more to ship out this time than last time.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's going into issue 3. Issue 3 is my favorite so far, although issue 4 is even crazier. And issue 5 is where it really just all goes nuts.
That's right.
Yeah.
The pregnant scientist has her kid, right?
Yeah, because it jumped ahead a year.
That's awesome.
I realize now, looking back on it, like.
Spoiler alert, there's a pregnant scientist.
What?
There's
a, issue yeah, there's one. A,
I'm just kidding.
I, well, again,
issue one, the, if you read it.
Yeah, the original one shot, Percy, who's our. I had a bunch of ideas, and this was the perfect opportunity to just be like, I always thought it'd be cool to have a zombie movie or something where one of the protagonists was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted like a Zarkov, if you've watched Flash Gordon or whatever, all pulp things always have that, like the mad scientist that's on the good guy's side. And so instead of just having that be an old man, I'm like, I'll have that be my
pregnant lady.
Yeah,
my pregnant badass lady.
That's so great.
But then like after I was writing it, I realized like I am not versed enough in like, especially
maternity?
Why have you seen The Quiet Place?
Yes.
I was like, so many opportunities I missed. Like I didn't, just because I was too focused on the zombies and the dinosaurs and everything.
Right.
So this time she has the kid, and I kind of treat it like Jack in The Incredibles.
Oh,
like
that's
I don't deal with any of the actual drama that you'd have if there was a kid around for this.
Right.
It's
yeah,
more like
it's aliens.
It's alien zombies. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to make it scary.
Not...
It's just the kid's there and fun and happy and mostly oblivious for the whole thing.
Right. DJ, I mean, if it helps, like, I'm not reading the story for like the I just like that she's a cool character and she's doing it.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to it for like what would you actually do if you were like a single
good.
Mom?
Good, because I don't provide that. I don't provide that.
That would be a very weird story.
Yeah, it's just her watching as her kid as she has like a sniper rifle
trying
on a giant zombie monster.
That's so great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So again, I just want to do stuff that you hadn't really seen and stuff. So one of our leads is Max, and he has his flamethrower chainsaw hybrid that he fights zombies with. And I try to use that more. Because I didn't, that was another thing after the first one. I'm like, it's rad. It has one of my favorite panels in the whole book. But I'm like, I didn't use it. I need more of the flamethrower chainsaw.
Well, when you have a flamethrower and a chainsaw in one weapon, you can't get enough of it.
So it's more of that stuff, more of them dealing with, you know, hitting the United States and things aren't great over there. And then
because the first one's in a, I don't know if it's spoilers
it's
to
island.
Talk about where it is. It's an island.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of like in its own, it's literally an island. It's contained. It's
so the idea for the first one was, what if, and this is the whole seed that got planted in my brain, at the end of the Dawn of the Dead remake, Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, they bail on the US and sail to an island. And I thought about it, like, just because I thought it'd be funny if like things just got worse. Like, what if the island was the Jurassic Park island?
Yeah.
So it's like, man, you just can't get out of this. And so that's the start of the one shot. They're sailing like, hey, this island's gonna be great. And it's the
Jurassic Park island.
Yeah, because our pregnant scientist, she somebody that was a part of the same project with her that generated the zombies went off on this island because they're doing crazy genetic stuff.
Right.
That may or may not involve alien DNA. And and so his version of the crazy genetic stuff was the dinosaurs. So it all connects through mad science.
Yeah.
And so that's where the dinosaurs get involved. And they that issue, with spoilers, that issue ends with them like on an ark full of like cryogenically frozen dinosaurs heading back to the United States. In the year since, things have not gone well.
I can only imagine.
Things have not gone well. And so it started, as I was doing the project for that, I actually had the idea of like, thinking about Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
So I was like, when they get back to the United States, it'd be cool if you had some of that stuff. So the first like half of issue one is basically that concept, but now with Mad Max.
Oh my God.
Issue two is kind of a little bit of Alien, but a lot of Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Vibe. Third one, they're in space, so that's nuts. and I'm not saying what happens in the fourth one.
Okay.
Yeah. At least not on air.
That's so great. I'm so excited for you to be able to be, you know, making. We have a big Slack community that has a. We literally have a Slack channel called We Made Shit, and it's all full of people that just like post the stuff they make.
Dope.
So make. I'm so happy to have you on when you're making shit.
I mean, man.
I'm happy to have you on whenever, but I'm happy to have you on as another ambassador of somebody who's making awesome shit.
Yeah, man, you just got to go for it. Yep, and it's never going to be easy. If you're waiting for it to be easy, don't.
You're never going to make it.
Don't.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, Star, you're finishing up.
We're finishing chapter 4 of Ruby.
Yeah.
Yay.
Which is exciting because that means that's exciting. Enough pages to actually make a graphic novel. Yep.
Dope. So how many pages?
God, I'm about to color page 80.
That's rad.
6 or 7.
Yeah, right, and we're getting closer.
But there's more pages than that because I forgot to count the title pages.
Uh huh.
When I'm because I'm just like, oh, this is the next page, and I just don't. So there's more pages for book, but like website wise, like the comic pages are the actual numbered pages.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're like at 100, basically like close to 100 with bonus, with all the bonus content in the back and stuff.
Yeah, there's gonna have to be bonus content and extra drawings and all the stuff, and it's just. I'm excited because I'm like, oh,
it's like the end of an era.
Terrified because I know doing a Kickstarter, I'm like, okay, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that kind of work? That's going to be a thing. And I'm sure there's going to be like art edits too. I got to go back because I've been drawing the pages the night before. They got to go up. So some stuff has to be cleaned up.
To be fair, we were pretty busy.
Yeah. Pretty busy. It's fine. But that was super not the intention to be It's a Monday night and it's supposed to go up Tuesday and I'm up till 3. Mind you, now it's like, well, I'm up anyway.
Yeah.
But that's still not. I need to build up back that buffer.
Yeah, you just go on a little hiatus, like a TV show.
No, I just like think once it started, I can't. Now it's like it's my fault that I have to like keep it going because once there's a hiatus, then it's too easy to
people drop
like,
off.
Oh, that's fine. Or it's just easier for me to be like, well, I just can't get this page up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just. No. Yeah. So only dire emergencies if I get sick or somebody else gets sick.
Something bad. Something terrible happens. Like the Earth gets invaded by zombies and we have to go to a planet or we have to go to an island with dinosaurs. Yeah. That's the only excuse.
The latest I've been
even
doing.
Even then, Star, no excuse.
Because, honestly, the latest I've been doing is like it'll be up the next day. I'm like, as long as it gets posted on the Thursday, it's fine. I think once there was
a post Tuesday, Thursday. So.
Got it.
I think once it posted on Friday. Because I think that was because of work. It was like
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
It was like a situation where it was like, oh, there's no way this is happening. But
we've been pretty consistent. It's been pretty good. Amazing. And I'm writing the second section right now. I just wrote the first 7 pages on Sunday. So that's really exciting because it's like back to the drawing board, back to the brainstorm board.
It's funny. This is my favorite part because I'm like, oh, I can see where the story's going. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then it's like, and I'm like, I always go, okay, cool. And then it's like my notes of like, what got this? This is different. Can we do? Can this happen?
Yeah.
Then we argue. Then it turns into the usual like the stakes are too high, the stakes are too low, the stakes are too high argument that we always
that the two of us have.
Yeah.
Because I like really high stakes and she likes no stakes.
Yeah.
So we get medium rare stakes.
There you go.
Yeah. It's just I'm like that's not the part that's dangerous. Yeah. That's always me. I'm like it's not that. It's that. Yeah.
So,
but then you cause more trouble anyway, and I'm like, okay, well, no, we need to have trouble.
I cause
there.
Lots of trouble. I'm sorry.
That needs to happen. The characters need to not be happy all the time.
There's got to be some way to forward the plot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. It's interesting going back to like, cause I've been working on, stuff at, like I've been doing the work stuff so much that, that I haven't really written a lot of scripts, in the past couple of months. So it's like going back and doing that, you know, you already wrote everything, right?
Yeah. I wrote everything, before he started working on the art for it, but I've been going back and rewriting it. Like issue 3 is basically completely different than when I first wrote it.
Oh, wow. How many rewrites did you do on stuff?
It depends. Yeah. I think issue 1 had the most,
That makes sense.
Issue four has actually been kind of, because I changed issue 3 so much, going back and changing issue 4 quite a bit.
Just to match the changes you made. Yeah, for sure.
But so like 2 or 3, I go back like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Cause there was the first pass and then maybe a second, at least a second pass, and then maybe a third.
That's not too
bad. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not you're a great writer, so it's easier. But
we'll find out.
Yeah. No,
we'll find out
writer.
Together.
How many rewrites do you think Infinity War got?
Like most Marvel movies, not as much as it should have. And that's not to say that it's bad, because it's not by any stretch of the imagination. But I feel like they're just stretched a little thin because of all the demands they put. Yeah. Onto themselves about when movies are supposed to come out or whatever. I really felt it, which is a movie I actually really enjoy, but I really felt it with Spider-Man Homecoming, because we rewatched, Sam and I, on our Only Stupid Answers podcast, we rewatched all of them leading up to Infinity War.
Oh, man.
And for the most part, I feel like that's like the ideal way to watch the MCU movies. Is like once a week is almost like it's the most expensive TV show ever.
I'm doing that right now. I just watched Civil War last night.
Oh, so good. Civil War, so good.
My first tweet after leaving the theater was, that was a really good season finale to one of like the most expensive miniseries ever.
Yeah, it's funny.
Because that's what it was. I was like, all right, cool. I wonder what's going to happen next season.
If you've watched me on any other show talking about this, because I've talked about it a few times now, you've probably tired of this metaphor, but the immediate feeling, the first thing I said when I left, is like watching five season finales to 5 different shows. In each commercial break, it flipped to a different show.
Oh, yeah.
And so at a certain point, like, all of it's engaging and interesting, but at a certain point, like, when Thor's doing, are we just going to dive right into spoilers?
Yeah. Spoilers. Yeah. Spoilers. Leave the podcast now if you don't want spoilers.
Okay. Thor's doing his bit, trying to get a new hammer, and it's cool. And then they cut back to Wakanda, and I'm like, I forgot this was happening.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that this was going on.
Every time, the first time they get to Wakanda, I think they're there for like a minute before they leave. And I'm like, we just got here. Because that was what I was waiting for the most. I was like, we just got here. Why are we leaving? Stay for like 2 more seconds.
Going in, like, this is a great, I feel like this is a great way for people to hash out who their favorites are.
Yeah.
Because going in, I was most excited to see, like, how did Tony and Cap resolve their stuff? Mm-hmm. How has Winter Soldier evolved since Civil War? How is Wakanda going to be evolved? None of that matters. Right. None of that matters to this movie. Some of it, specifically the Tony Steve stuff, might pay off in 4, which I feel like is the real finale.
Sure.
This is like the Game of Thrones metaphor. This is like episode 9.
Yeah.
Blackwater. Somebody said it compared to Blackwater Bay. I'm like, oh, this is
100%
that.
Yeah. It is that. Yeah.
It's absolutely that. So it's like my favorites are like Captain America, Black Widow, Black Panther, and they're basically glorified cameos in this movie. So that was a little bit of a disappointment for me.
Yeah, because there was only one part where I was just like, okay, I understand it takes a lot to put all of these characters in.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I liked everybody's moments, because every time 2 new characters interacted, I was just like, oh, this is fun. But just the scene with Thor keeping the door open,
uh-huh.
Stop trying. You don't need to get emotions out of me right now, because I know for a fact he's not going to die right now. Yeah. Like, I don't feel anything about him holding this thing open. Even though it's cool to see
Peter
Dinklage.
He looked cool doing it.
He looked really cool. It was his Captain America with a helicopter moment.
It looked really cool.
If they could have cut that scene in half and given me a little bit more Wakanda and seeing like Falcon and Rhodes reaction, just give me like just a look, a something. I would have taken that. I would have been so happy, because it's like one of those like wait, how did those 2 in particular react to Wakanda?
Yeah.
Like, that's actually a thing that, even though nothing to do with the movie, that's why I said, I'm like, 10 seconds, just
a comment,
a look, just.
What if Cap and Black Widow and Falcon been up to?
Right.
Yeah.
For however many years since then, like, I think what I wanted in my heart of hearts is a Secret Avengers movie, before this movie.
Yeah.
With them kind of like, hey, this is what we've been up to. Because they imply that Vision and Scarlet Witch had this like Romeo and Juliet.
Right?
Like, he's on Team Iron Man, she's on Team Cap, but they've been sneaking away. It's like,
that would have been cool. Yeah. I would have actually cared about their relationship. Interested
in what's happening here.
So it's really interesting because I just did a rewatch of Avengers.
Yeah.
And then Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And then did Civil War.
Yes.
And so it's really cool to see how...
Those are the only three I own, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Skipped Ultron.
Black Panther will be on there, too.
Yeah, Black Panther. Once it comes out. I skipped Ultron, which... Because Hannah's watching with me so that we can go see Infinity War to catch up. Because she's seen a bunch of, like... She saw Doctor Strange and Black Panther and all those, but not the Avengers ones, which I...
In the second time I saw it, there was a girl in the theater that had... The last one she'd seen was Ultron. She was super confused.
Yeah.
She was poor girl was so confused. Yeah,
so confused.
So like, you skipped Ultron.
Yeah, I skipped Ultron because I felt like We were gonna watch it, but it's not good.
It's challenging. It's not good. It's challenging.
There's so many important things in it that
I vaguely remember. Like, I only watched it once and I remember being like,
so they do the Sokovia thing, and that's like that's what plays into Civil War.
Yeah.
But there were so many, it was really cool to see how the stuff from the first Avengers is still playing in Infinity War.
Yes.
Like, there are things that, and in Civil War, like, it's for having so many writers and having so many properties between them.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually quite astounding to see how coherent of a story, not storyline, but like
the first five. I don't know,
it was really cool to watch all three of those back to back because they're all so good.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting.
They abbreviate the story in between, and it's just, I don't know.
It's interesting when you bring up Avengers and Civil War, because I think that informs my thoughts on Infinity War, because those movies do such a good job incorporating a bunch of characters and make it just look seamless.
Yeah,
like, of course we do that. So then when you see Infinity War, it's like, oh, you reached your limit.
Right.
Like, you reached your limit to where you could do it, and it just felt natural. Seems, and it felt like this is just the way movies are done. And it's like Infinity War, it's like,
it's
still great.
There's so many characters.
The consistency of the characters, though, like, I think.
I mean, it helps they have
Infinity War
lots
does
of comics
does
that solidify what the characters are like.
Pretty well with, like, the original Avengers. Everybody else is a little weird.
And what, elaborate.
I know you don't like Guardians, but...
they're not for me.
It's fine.
Drax gets my two least favorite jokes in the whole Infinity War.
Right, because here's the thing. Drax is not a dummy. Drax isn't supposed to be dumb. In Infinity War, they made him dumb. He's supposed to just be someone who's not good at sarcasm and takes everything literally. That's his thing. Mm-hmm. So for him to have like a scene where he's just like, I'm invisible, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I think, like, I would have cut the 20 minutes where he tries to convince the team that he's invisible and had another scene with Cap.
Like,
it was weird. Although I know people are complaining about what's his face, Peter Quill's characterization, but I thought that was actually pretty, like, I was like, no,
he's very selfish,
that's how he acts in all of the movies. They're like, why would he just like be so emotional? That I was like, did you see the last one? He like, soon as he found out his mom was killed, like, he snaps out of it and just shoots. There's no talking. Yeah. He just does the thing.
Something that interests me with this movie is I think this is the best Gamora has ever been in a movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's the best Thor's ever been in a movie, even though I enjoy Ragnarok. I think this is my favorite. I really enjoy, like, when he's talking to Rocket, and it helps that they put him with my two favorite Guardians. But when he's talking to Rocket about his feelings about losing everybody, it's like, oh, Chris Hemsworth, you're killing it right now. You're doing real good.
Thor, weirdly, in this one, like, because my favorites obviously, right now, it's like Black Panther's my favorite. Yeah. But I understood this isn't his movie, so I'm like, okay, it's fine.
And he did just get one, but it was so good.
It was so good. Like, that just...
have more.
It's easy to just bump straight up. But for like, the longest, like, my favorites were Peter Quill, just because, like, I like the funny ones.
Yeah.
And Thor 3, like, really just bumped Thor. I was like, I never thought I would give a shit about Thor.
It's the best version of Thor.
I was never into Loki. Loki's not... I never liked that character.
Interesting. Loki to me is diminishing returns. Loki's the easily the best part of the first Thor, which rewatching it, that movie's not good.
But
the first Thor is
not good.
That's bumped
scene.
At all.
I didn't watch it. Nope.
Good. And you've never seen it ever.
Never seen it.
You're fine. Because that actually, rewatching it, Thor 2 was always the bottom of my MCU barrel.
Never watched Thor 2.
Now it's Thor 1. Now rewatching is because at least Thor 2 looks like it had money.
Yeah.
Thor 1. I saw Dark World, but the best scene is him with the cup going, another. And yeah. That was like, that's
fine.
That's fine.
But I like Loki a lot in that. And I like him in Avengers a lot. He's really good in Avengers. And then each time he's come back since, it's like, not as
I'm just not into
he's good in this one.
I'm just not into, like, I understand they gave him a redemption arc.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like, the redemption arc only kind of works if you forget how evil he was previously.
Theoretically, for all the people that he technically murdered in Avengers, you could technically put that at the doorstep of Thanos. That Thanos was manipulating him.
Yeah.
And he was a little out of his...
Well, that's because, yeah, so it's really
you
funny.
You can make that argument.
Rewatching Avengers,
I mean,
there's a moment where he's like, he doesn't want to. Like, he doesn't want to do it, but he's like being coerced in Avengers, the first one. He's like, you have to do it because otherwise my boss is gonna get mad at me. And then we figure out it's Thanos later.
Yeah. Question. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to ask anybody this yet. Real quick though, I do want to say Tom Hiddleston is an amazing performer. If you've
yeah.
seen,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you've only seen Only Lovers Left Alive,
oh,
amazing.
It's so good.
It's him and Tilda Swinton.
Yes.
Tilda anyway. Swinton. Does so this Thanos, for me in this movie, I think the biggest praise I can give this movie is not only did they make Thanos a credible villain, but a credible character.
Yeah.
Does this version of Thanos track at all with what we've seen as Thanos in the past movies? Because I don't think it, and thinking back on it, it's like, because this Thanos seems incredibly proactive.
Yeah.
So why has he been sitting on a chair for the past 20 movies?
So...
It's Ultron,
there's in the mid-credit scene,
yeah,
he basically says like, I'm gonna do this myself.
Yeah, it's basically, it looks like it takes place seconds after the first one, where it's like, never mind, now I'm gonna do it. I think that's my least favorite after credit scene, because it's like, but that was the same scene.
Yeah. so I think that was sort of their change.
Yeah.
But I also, it was interesting because I was reading trivia for I think it was Avengers, and the first one, and or was it Ultron? I can't remember. But anyway, one of them, they made Joss Whedon basically made the decision to put in Thanos as the villain, and Marvel was just like, okay, I guess that makes it, because he was like, we need somebody who's controlling Loki.
Yeah,
and so they were like. He was like, I think it should be Thanos. And they're like, okay. Yeah. So they didn't really know necessarily that was going to be
their
like
guy.
Where it was going to go.
Yeah.
So I think that they seized the opportunity of him being like, now I'm going to do it myself. And then just twisted it into what we see now.
Yeah.
If they had planned it out from the beginning. Yeah. I totally like, it doesn't matter. As
like, especially in Guardians 1, it's just kind of like, he's just classic,
yeah,
like mustache
like,
twirling.
He would have more
exactly.
of a presence.
He would, I think if they had known from the very beginning, they would have done it differently.
Yeah.
But they just didn't know, which is so crazy to me that, well, it's crazy on two fronts. It's crazy, one, that all of it actually sort of came together.
Yeah.
Like, it actually sort of worked, but it's also crazy that they set out to make this thing and didn't really have a plan for it yet.
Well, I think there was, John Favreau said something similar with the after credit scene in Iron Man. He was kind of like, it was just like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? Like, yeah, sure. And then they did it. And now it's the thing that it is.
Now it's,
you know? Weird how those silly moments where you're like, I just kind of want to do it.
Yeah.
Have fun.
It's really
and
great.
Now everything that they do is like
tied
okay,
to that.
What are we doing? Wait, is this going to tie into like what are they calling the different like versions of the movies, like the different like eras?
Yeah.
Like this is the
phases.
Phase 1.
They're
phase
like,
one,
okay,
phase
all right. What are you going to add? Is this going to affect phase 4?
Yeah,
six?
To the point where it's like, it's so interesting having been like a comic book reader to see how like the general audience is now in the same thing that comic readers have had to deal with, because like you have to deal with continuity errors. Like Spider-Man Homecoming says 8 years after Avengers.
And it's really like six
and then
or something.
Tony Stark specifically says it's been 6 years since the Battle of New York. So it's like, what? And then, so now Ant-Man and Wasp is coming out, and that's 1000% going to have to be before this movie.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll do the little card like before Infinity War. Like when you read a comic, they're like, the events of this issue take place before Green Arrow number 35.
Oh my God.
So make sure you don't like,
because
as much as I would love to see Ant-Man and Wasp doing their little shenanigans while people just.
I mean, what if it is?
I'd love it.
So
I mean, that'd be
a much darker movie.
That'd be so wild. Like if what, it could so just open. It could
for
open
Ant-Man.
With with just like, you know, do the thing where it opens at the end kind of thing, where like we see people poofing away and then it's just like a couple months ago.
No, yeah, I think, like, well, I think what they have to do is straight off the bat, like it takes place before either in the marketing or something in the movie, and then one of the after credit scenes is going to be whoever is not going to be Infinity War 2 poofs out.
Right, yeah.
And I really hope it's not Wasp, because I would really like to see her be a part of the team. Like, what? I not to get into this, but there has been set photos of
Infinity War 2.
And then Sam Basher brought up,
little boy Sam Basher,
yeah, the co-host on my The Only Stupid Answers podcast, brought up that if they have a real opportunity here to have at least one moment where the original Avengers comic book lineup can be together. So like, why would you waste that opportunity? Because I think the original was cool. It's not Cap, it's Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Wasp, and Ant-Man. I think that's it. That's the original five. And so you could have like a thing with them together. It's like, yeah, man, if you don't waste that opportunity.
That'd be cool.
Even though I am glad, something I'm very thankful for in four is that by the nature of what happened in this movie, it's going to be much more streamlined. We're basically back to the core team.
Yeah. That's fine.
And as enjoyable as this movie was, it's like, thank God.
We go back to a little bit of sanity. Yeah.
I want a moment if they do anything with Black Panther before his second movie. Yeah. I want to see Suri in a Black Panther suit. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming she survived. They don't show anything, but I'm gonna be like, you definitely didn't. You wouldn't kill another kid in this movie.
It's funny to point out that when he's supposed to blink out half the population, as far as the good guy roster goes, that's a little bit more than half.
Yeah.
They got hit real hard with that one.
I'm sure he was just like, you know what, random, but
except for these guys.
So
Thanos is a real fan of the first Avengers movie, so it's like, except those guys. Yeah. I really want to see those guys come back. All the new people, get rid of them. These old guys.
Because there's no like heart shaped, you know, herb anymore. Yeah. So it's just like, it would just be like the suit.
Yeah.
And who else would design like a suit that could, you know?
Yeah.
That's a cool moment.
That would be a cool. Like, I would just want, like, a moment. She
takes it up.
Yeah. She takes it up until, like, you know, he's back. And then she's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go back to my lab.
Yeah.
This is hard, getting punched.
I wonder after all of the events in Black Panther, and they find out that after all that, T'Challa just vanished. Like, well, shit.
Yeah. We did all of that.
We back and forth. Like, he hit the heart shaper of, like, three times in that movie. And now it's gone. And now he's gone. It's like, son of a bitch, man.
So
Baku's still around, but like nobody likes him.
Yeah, nobody wants to.
Yeah, but he lost like most of his crew. I'm looking forward to seeing the aftermath of all of these things.
I have a feeling it's going to mostly be a hand wave, like, oh no, now to fight Thanos.
Fine, I guess. But yeah. It's not the meat. I don't know. I'm in this for.
I mean, then they'll probably use the time stone to.
Or time something. It looks like in set photos, it looks like there's time travel involved, which is exciting.
Yeah, because there's like pictures of the cast and the looks from the previous movies.
At least the first Avengers. And they've said, the Russos have said that it's probably going to involve, they've suggested, and this might be misleading, they've suggested that it involves the barf technology from Civil War, which I don't know if that makes sense.
The witch technology?
When he goes back to you remember when Tony Stark is doing that uplifting speech to a group of college students, and for some reason he decides to show them his most traumatic memory?
That's what you do.
That's the one thing in Civil War that like stands out to me. Like, why would you show them?
That's why I
knew
what you're talking about, because I literally just watched that. And I was like, oh, the barf.
And it's like, why, of all the things you show
the acronym as barf, it's, what is it like?
I don't remember. But it's when he goes back to memory, where it's right before his parents died. And so that might be involved, although I don't know how that helps them.
You put the time stone in that
machine.
They don't
have it.
They need to get
Thanos
it.
Thanos still has it.
Well, what's his face disappeared and went back to the...
He went to the farm.
I have a question.
Yeah.
No, not
maybe
Hawkeye.
You'll know the answer to.
Doctor Strange's buddy.
Wong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have like a backup time stone. That'd be rad.
That'd be...
They should have worked on that.
Yeah, they should have. That would have been awesome.
It would have explained why he just disappeared. He was just like, oh, I'm out.
Just back, like a backup hard drive, but a backup timeline.
Like, I have another one.
Well,
thing once where we went back in time, got it, so we have two.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I like that though. Wong was like, "Why are you leaving?" Because there's already too many characters in this movie. Yeah. I gotta just leave. I'm lucky I got any scenes in this movie at all.
Seriously, because he could have showed up at the end and really kicked some. He could have split so many people in half with these things. And you're like, "No, that's too."
I like that. It's Benedict Wong, right? That plays Wong. actor. Yes. He's so good.
I don't know his name. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so good.
But he's really good. Yeah. I love his character too.
I really hope there is another time. Like, that's the actual reveal. It's like, oh, we have more of
We have like five.
We just stockpile. Yeah. We've created alternate timelines.
It's super dangerous. We don't like to talk about it.
We didn't tell Doctor Strange. Why would we tell him?
Yeah. Well, he's come super close to messing everything up a couple times, so we didn't let him know. We didn't let him know about it.
Okay, I have a question for you that I didn't understand, because I'm not a Marvel, like, I've watched the Marvel movies, but I don't know Marvel stuff back and forth.
Yeah.
Why did Thanos not just, like, rip reality all the fucking time? Like, he ripped reality on, or he, like, modified reality on, what's her name? From, on the alien girl from Guardians.
Gamora?
No, the alien
Mantis.
One. Yeah, Mantis. Yeah. He, like, made her, like, a jack-in-the-box thing.
Yeah, and they
thing.
Made Drax, like, and, blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just do that?
He just,
time.
I think he just, because he just got
I didn't
that
know if it
power.
Like took something to do reality.
I don't know. Well, it's interesting because.
But like that felt like a weird thing to me that he didn't just fucking just distort reality
all the time. Yeah. It's interesting because in the comic, once you have like the Infinity Gauntlet, like it's just you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
In this one, it looks like it takes a certain amount of energy to accomplish things.
That's kind of what I was.
And everything's
justifying.
Yeah. Everything feels a little bit depowered, which is probably just because. Infinity Gauntlet, it's based off of the event comic Infinity Gauntlet, where it's that actually begins after Thanos already has the Infinity Stones, and he's basically spends the majority of the series trying to figure out what to do with them. But because his threat
I
is
would have
so
watched that as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of, honestly, it's a lot of him bitching about Death not liking him enough. Because in the comics,
he's like super in love with Death.
Yeah, Death is a personified entity, which you kind of get an homage from in the most surprising thing in this movie, which was Red Skull. Which physically, oh goodness, physically is kind of like an homage
death
to Death. Yeah, it's just a lot of him bitching like, "Oh, Death doesn't like me. What do I need to do to get Death to like me?" So I think this characterization in this movie is better, at least for general audiences, if nothing else. But I think. With that threat, they're literally the giant cosmic entities all get around like, hey, what do we do with this guy that can literally do whatever he wants? And they go to like the Living Tribunal, who basically is the gatekeeper of all balance in the universe. And he's like, well, I technically didn't break any rules, so I'm going to let him do it. And they're talking to a personification of the universe. And so they're not going to do that in this movie. So it feels like the Infinity Gauntlet's like significantly depowered to where theoretically, like in the Infinity Gauntlet story, the heroes basically can't do shit. Like, they can't do anything. Like, they do their best, but there's really no way to stop him physically. This one, it kind of at least feels like maybe.
Yeah, they're, like, actually fighting him.
Yeah, like, maybe they could. Because you're right. Like, why didn't he just, like when he's fighting the group of on Titan, when he's fighting, like, Star-Lord and Iron Man, why is that boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, done. Out.
You know?
See ya. That's exactly. Because
the movie
thought.
Stops.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
those
that.
Movies.
Forgot
stops.
That it was a movie.
Yeah,
and like it's I not. Would,
and they're not going to go to like the living personification of the universe and be like, "Hey, what do you want to do?"
I'm trying to think of like maybe he's just he gets bored real fast. Like he just wants. He's like, let's see if they can do it.
Yeah,
I know they can't.
That
let's
kind
see
of
them try.
Well, honestly, a big part of the Infinity Gauntlet comic is Vision actually has a moment where he admits we've never beaten Thanos before. Like somebody's like, "Well, we've beaten Thanos before," and he's like, "Not technically." Technically, we've always found a way. He beats himself. Like he either subconsciously or unconsciously, he allows the good guys to win because maybe secretly he doesn't actually want to win.
Have you read? It's right. Is it right there? I think it is. Maybe not. It's Nimona. Oh, it's right there.
Mm-mm.
Back there. Oh, it's so good. So that what you just said reminded me of it. It's a graphic novel. Called Nimona by Noelle Stevenson.
Okay.
Who's great. She is Lumberjanes. And,
yeah.
It's about a supervillain.
Yeah.
Who meets this girl. She's this young girl, and she wants to become his sidekick, basically.
Yeah. She's a shapeshifter.
And she's a shapeshifter. And his whole thing is like, she actually makes him, she powers him enough to be able to make him win.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, no, we can't win.
Yeah.
Our whole thing is we don't win.
Yeah.
We can't. I'm here to play a part. I play the part or I do something bad and I lose.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's this shift of power because she's around and because she's actually really powerful.
Yeah.
Anyway, explore similar themes. You should read. It's so good. It's one of my favorite. I just got done reading it like a couple weeks ago and I highly recommend it.
That's cool.
So good.
Yeah. So,
so good.
So Thanos basically trips over his own feet.
Right. Yeah.
In the comics most of the time. And so in this one, it's more like that's not this characterization of him. So it's more, I think they just brought it all down a little bit. And yeah. also, it's
that's what the movie would stop.
We have to have a cool fight scene with Iron Man and Spider Man and Star Lord.
So when the movie ended,
yeah,
I wanted the MCU to stop and just end it there.
And with Thanos' smile, like bye bye.
Yeah,
bye.
I was like, what if?
Yeah.
What if? What
that's
if?
A, that's a what if? Not a great message.
They just. What if they just put all the movies and set photos and all that shit out?
Yeah.
Just to lead you, like, to throw you off the trail, and then just like, nah.
And then they release, you know how when like a movie breaks a record, another movie. So like when I think either Jurassic World broke a record or some other movie broke a Jurassic World record, and they sent them a thank you, like a congrats photo.
Yeah, Jurassic World broke something. Some record. Yeah.
So instead, like Disney's like, they decide that this is the end, so they just put out a picture of Thanos sitting on a burning pile of money. Like, that's it, everybody.
Yeah, because I would have to imagine that would only ever happen if somehow everybody in their mind, like, who was in charge of anything, was just like, you know what, money's not important anymore.
Yeah,
it's all about art.
Yeah.
And we're just going to, you know, like, this is the story we had to tell, and this is how we're going to do it, and that's it. And, like, I just can't.
Even about the art, as awesome as that would be, it's still not a complete story.
No, not at all.
That in itself could just be, like, maybe it's, like, a weird commentary.
And that's kind of why I felt weird about it. I felt like it was the first half of a movie.
Yeah, exactly, because going no direction is it complete, because you need to have watched 19 other movies, 18 other movies to even know what's happening.
Well, the only character who gets an arc is Thanos.
Yeah, and then it's a setup for another movie. So even though it's like hugely entertaining, like it's hard for me to be like, yeah, it's one of the best, just because it's not whole. It's a piece. Right. You know,
I'm waiting for part two to decide if I should cry.
Yeah, that's like, exactly how I felt about The Last Jedi.
Mm.
I felt like that was the middle.
Yeah.
Of a movie.
Yeah.
It was the second act of a movie.
Yeah.
And I never got the first act where it was like, oh, here's all like the fun, like here's like how everything, here's the hero and here's them choosing to go on their journey and then fun things happening and then them realizing that, oh shit, things aren't, like the fun and games section was gone. Yeah. It was literally the whole time just bad shit happening to them until the end.
Well, and it's why I think the biggest proof of the MCU's, like their golden child for me, is still Civil War, because not only does it incorporate all, not only does it do the MCU thing about like, hey, everybody's here, but I honestly feel like even though you would benefit from having seen other movies, I still feel like you could give that movie to somebody and they'd get it. They'd be able to be like, okay, I'm missing, I don't know what Sokovia is or whatever, but you'd be able to like keep up. Yeah. And every all the characters that are all involved on the one conflict. They all have, they all have a motivation because it's a pick your side situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even small characters like Spider-Man and Ant-Man that are basically cameos have moments. Like Spider-Man matters because he informs Tony, even though Tony's ostensibly the antagonist in that movie, we're reminded how much we love him through his incorporation of Spider-Man and how and his arc as a person. And even though Ant-Man just kind of shows up for the fight, he gets the giant man moment. Yeah. Where he changes the course of the fight. So even though there's a bunch of characters, they all kind of matter. Whereas this one, it's like, honestly, you could probably cut Cap and Black Widow and maybe even Black Panther, and it would essentially be the same movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think movies like this should be recategorized? Like, so, you know, we have in TV, there's different kinds. We have TV movies, we have franchises, we have like miniseries, we have like just different. You think movies that aren't like our franchises shouldn't just be called, oh, it's a, like, call it something other than a
movie. So, like, it's like a season of a TV show.
Or just call
show.
It a franchise, right. Or call it a miniseries movie or some other new
name. Some serial.
So that
some
when you go
serial.
Into it, because I know so many people who are mad at movies who do this now because it's not a full story. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine with it because I go into it treating it like the next episode of a really big TV show, like a Sherlock or something, where it's like, yeah, this season you only get 3 episodes, but they're all an hour and a half long. And this is what we get this time. So that's how I see it. So I don't get mad at it when it's half a movie. Like, same thing with Star Wars. And
I get real mad.
Yeah, I get mad.
I'm just like, okay, this is just an episode. But I would be pissed if I was going into it going like expecting a whole story.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it should have another.
It sort of needs to have a different name.
It needs to have another name so that when you go to see a movie and you're expecting a movie, you're like, okay, I'm going to get a complete story here. But if I'm going to go see this, oh, well, how many episodes do I have to catch up on? Do I need to binge this?
Actually, that's the first time I've ever heard that suggestion. I really like that because I was on Screen Junkies talking about this too. And they people brought up how like people are getting frustrated with people's reaction to it, was like, of course it's not a complete story. This is how stories are told in the 21st century. This is how movies are made in the 21st century. It's like, go screw yourself. Like, what are you talking about? But you're right. Like, if you made a distinction,
because it's not gonna go away. It's like, it makes too much money, and people do enjoy it. Like, I had a good time watching it, but yeah, I'm like, it's a finale. I'm like, we're season two. Like, yeah. I treat it like a TV show.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Because it's not, nothing about it's bad, but it doesn't like. I don't know if I describe it as a movie. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't really
conform to that.
Yeah, and so it'd be interesting if you did recategorize it, because I definitely don't think like this is the future of movie making and this is how all movies should be made. But this is the only way this thing would exist.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I mean, I guess just call it a franchise. I mean, a franchise is what we have right now, because a lot of movies that are like, you know, like trilogies and continuations, and it's gonna go on for decades.
Although,
you know,
if I'm being honest, I think this type of movie, I think Marvel, this will be the one time this happens.
I don't know, we're getting it with Star Wars.
Well, but not the whole, like, Star Wars is still generally adhering. You've got your main trilogy plus some ancillary stuff. It's not like each, we're going to do, like, we're not going to do Solo and then Skywalker but currently not. And you're right. If anybody would get away with it, it'd be another Disney property. It'd be Star Wars. But like, the Universal Monsters have tried it and failed. DC of the things has tried it and has not found the same success as Marvel. And I just don't know. It's interesting that Marvel ushered in this thing, taught us how we should ingest these movies, basically set how this conversation we had.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how people would be having this conversation if DC had done it first,
right,
with the movies that they had. We view those movies differently because Marvel told us how we should view them.
Yeah.
And to the point where it's like, I don't know if anybody, it's the general audience gatekeepers. They haven't let another one like break through.
Potter's attempting it.
Harry Potter franchise? How so?
Well, they're doing with Fantastic
Beasts. They're...
But, okay, I think there's a difference, though, because I think what the difference for me is that MCU does individual movies for each of the characters, and then does a movie where they all come together.
Yeah.
And then does individual movies with each of those characters again, and then does a movie where they all come together. So it's like this sort of... It's like a double helix. It's a weaving pattern. Yeah, it's like two lines that are weaving in and out.
Yeah.
Where we're getting this ballooning sign of curves? Lots of opposite sine and cosine. No, I don't know.
You've lost me.
Whatever it is. It's like two weaving lines. Yeah. And so we're getting this ballooning where there's three or four movies that come out that all happen sort of around the same time.
Yeah.
And then they all come together. And I think that's different for me than sequels,
or prequels.
In Harry Potter, I think there's one, and the same thing with Star Wars, like you're saying, there is like one linear line, one linear pattern of movies, and then sort of like some ancillaries that don't, like Solo takes place way before, it's off to the side, it isn't like we got a Kylo and a, or not Kylo, I guess it'd be a Rey and a Finn and maybe a Kylo.
And then you have Star Wars Episode 8 and they all come together. Exactly. But you're right, though, that if anybody would get away with it,
it would be Star Wars. If they did those, that would be awesome. I would be super down for them to try.
I mostly say, because even with stuff that we know is a trilogy, they don't make complete movies with those anymore either. There's the trilogy.
Sure, I guess
now
you're right
one,
in that
two,
regard.
Yeah. Like, that's the whole story's together.
So I guess if it's like the first movie and they do a whole full movie and it's done.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, we're going to make, I'm sure Avatar is going to be this way because they're making 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 at the same time.
Yeah, geez.
So it's probably going to be the same thing where like the story plays out over this.
I see what you're saying.
Story
that's the distinction.
Arc. That you're right. That's the distinction. Not that everything curves. It can be that. Yeah, it can be that they all get their own, but you're right in that they're making movies where the end is not supposed to be the end. The end is supposed to be the setup.
I know this
the,
makes me sound like an old man,
act.
But that bums me out.
Me too.
Well, it's, that's you why know, don't but, call them a movie.
No, but here's the distinction. Here's why it bums me out. Here's why. Because I think TV, which is theoretically the same thing, is at its best when episodes are able to stand on their own. Like whenever Netflix is like, it's not a series, it's a 13-hour movie. It's like, then you're doing TV wrong. Mm-hmm. The best way to do it, it should be 13 mini movies. You know what I mean? Each episode, you should be able to hand somebody, and this is like ideal. Obviously, this, I'm not saying people should be able to hit this all the time, right? Because it's insane. It's a high bar to set for people. But I think TV at its best, you would be able to hand somebody an episode of just
any show.
For example, Breaking Bad. The first episode I saw in entirety in Breaking Bad was 1 minute, which is halfway through season three. And I don't know if you guys recall what 1 minute is. It's when
I haven't seen Breaking Bad.
Oh my goodness!
It's been a while. Right? Oh my god! I'm going to loan it to you.
I have the whole thing. I'll loan it to you.
I have it. I just have not watched it.
Do it. So anyway, it's halfway through season three, and right then and there, it was literally in the middle of the series. It's a five. It was the middle of season three. It's a five season show, so it's like the middle of the series. First episode I watched, I'm like, oh, I'm in. I need to watch all of this.
Yeah.
Like, and I was able to understand. It gave me enough information to, like, there's a confrontation between Jesse and Hank in that episode, and I don't know who either of those characters are at this point, but I get enough to
know
their dynamic.
Him, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I think, you know, you break movies into acts, but then each act is broken into its own act.
Yep.
So, like, when I script, I usually use a five act structure, which is why Chaos Theory is five issues, right? And each of those five acts is broken into a three act thing.
Mm-hmm.
So five issues, each one's three acts, but they each have a part of this five act story, and each of those three acts are broken into three acts. You know what I mean? And theoretically, each scene should have its own little three act structure. Yeah. You know what I mean? And again, like, this
in
is
a very,
like,
small way. It's like what a character wants something.
Yeah,
they fail to get that thing at first. And then they either get it or don't get it. And then, and then they move. And that's sort of the hero cycle where it's like somebody wants something, they go out and get it, and then they bring it back and something's changed.
Yeah. And
right?
Again, that's like the ideal of storytelling. I don't want people reading Chaos and they're like, this isn't as good as Breaking Bad. You know what I mean? So, but it's what you're shooting for.
Yeah.
And so it's like, even though your movies are part of a series, you want it to feel, if I'm being honest, I think Infinity War, it's McFeely, Marcus and McFeely are the two writers, and they worked on Winter Soldier and Civil War and a bunch of other, I think Cap 1 as well. I honestly feel they did their damnedest to try and make it feel that way. It's just the logistics of it all. You just can't.
None of the main characters other than Thanos himself have a complete beginning, middle, end in that movie.
When Thor's trying to explain his backstory when he first meets the Guardians, you can feel them trying to, like, for the one person that didn't see it, we're trying so hard.
Yeah.
It's just there's 20 some characters, and so even though they attempted it and legitimately I think they did an overall a good job. I just think this is more of a crowning achievement of this movie is more a crowning achievement of brand synergy than it is of storytelling.
Okay.
Not that it's not an achievement, and not that they did their damnedest to tell a really engaging story,
but it's
just the impressive part
of
it.
Story.
Yeah, the more impressive part is that they're all there.
I want a new.
Yeah.
I want a new name.
I think for me, it's half of a story because I didn't see Thanos as the main character. If Thanos had been the main character, it would have felt like a full movie.
Let me help you with that. If you go re-see it, I when I was talking about it before. I noticed there's some thematic connections because Thanos' big bit is he sees the universe is basically entirely overpopulated, which is a little weird because every planet they go to is basically empty, but whatever. He sees the universe is overpopulated, so he wants to nuke half the population so they can live in peace, right? Apparently, he hasn't heard about trickle-down economics, not realizing the rich would still just hoard everything.
You know,
but anyway.
Or, you know, you could use it and make more resources.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge that even though his we understand why he has the goal he has, he's still crazy.
His solution is not great.
You
know, you can make more planets for more people and then anyway.
but the idea being that you need to make sacrifices for the greater good.
Yeah.
And when I was talking about it, I realized there's some connective tissue to when Doctor Strange is talking about, like, if it comes down to you or Spider-Man or the Time Stone, I'm choosing the Time Stone. And when Cap is like, we're not going to sacrifice Vision. And so going in the second time, I was like, I want to pay more attention to that. To see if there's something there. And I realized, at first I was confused because it's like, these heroes are making these points about, like, we shouldn't make these sacrifices, but the movie's kind of undermining them. And then I realized, because it is Thanos' movie, that the theme is his theme. And so everybody, even though the movie doesn't necessarily side with his end game, the reasoning of saying to do truly great things, you need to be willing to make sacrifices is the lesson of the movie. Because honestly, if Vision's like, hey, the conversation is Vision's like, I should sacrifice myself, and Cap's like, we won't let you do that, and then
he's like, didn't you just dump
on
a grenade?
Vision's like, didn't you do that? And Cap's like, we're not gonna let you do it. They should have, because if they nuked Vision right then, universe saved.
Yep. Yep.
If Doctor Strange, although this is, there's some complications to this because I had issues at first with why the fuck did Doctor Strange give up the Time Stone?
Right.
And then there's conversation. Yeah, yeah. There's setup for four probably.
Right. It's and like, also like he saw one way and
yeah, had it's to give probably it the way. Tony, yeah. Right.
The way is Tony needs to be alive.
Yeah. But barring that, if Doctor Strange had stuck to his guns and not given up the Time Stone, universe saved. What's the one character that gets the closest to taking out Thanos? It's Thor. Because he's willing to sacrifice himself to make the hammer.
Yeah.
And so all of it drives into Thanos's main goal to like a lot of Marvel movies, it's a little light on theme, but the theme that is there emphasizes that, which I think is really, I think it is, God, even though I have mixed feelings about this movie overall, God bless them for understanding like, hey, if this is a part one, let's go for it. The bad guy wins in this one, like straight up, because they took it from the comic too. In the comic, he does the snap and wipes out half the universe. Like, it's part one, and it's the Infinity Gauntlet, so we can literally rewrite all of this if we want. So let's just go for it. And I really admire
it. It was bold.
The only my main like serious peeve with the movie, because it was like a fun popcorn movie.
Yeah.
Thanos,
I really liked it.
Thanos sacrificing Gamora really sets up a bad message of what love is and abuse.
Yeah, because but he's the bad guy.
He is the bad guy. Yeah. But here's the thing. Marvel still validated his treatment of Gamora as love because he successfully got the stone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know what you're trying. I know you're not thinking too hard. If you don't think too hard about it, it's fine. But as like, there's so many people in situations who are in abusive just things where it's just like, but they love me, or it's done from a place of love, when it's like, that's not like in real life. That's not love. No, even if they think they love you, that's no. And it bothered me that the movie
validated that. I never thought of that.
She'll be fine by the end of Avengers 4.
I'm sure. And I hope like this gets addressed in the first
She's supposed to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
There's no way there's a Guardians 3 without her in it.
Yeah. So like, but just like for that moment, because he gets the stone because he sacrifices something he loves. And I'm like, yeah, but he literally tortured her.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
She describes what he's done to her.
Yeah, and I think that...
And you're like, and she says it, and that's the thing too, she also says it to him, she's like, that's not love. And I'm like, yeah, it isn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that worked. Ooh, I was kind of hoping you got like some type of like shitty, not like 2-bit stone.
Yeah,
like,
well, I do think in the comic he's the couple things. One, Thanos is always his worst enemy, and also the Soul Stone's messed up in that like if you die with it, you're a part of it now or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling, especially since he snaps his fingers and then he goes to that vision of Gamora, I have a feeling she's, and this is probably how they're going to bring her back to, her soul's in the Soul Stone. So she's probably going to haunt Thanos, which is how he's going to get involved in whatever he gets in. Based on the comic, somebody else gets the Infinity Gauntlet about halfway through, and the Avengers have to work with him, which I actually would really like to see here. Nebula. Nebula. Ooh. He's back on board. Yeah, he's torturing Nebula the whole time. Yeah. Like she's constantly being tortured. And so eventually she's able to get it from him because he's not paying attention to her. But then she doesn't have the will that he has. So it's just worse. So they have to work with him to stop her. And I would like to see the Avengers, after what he's done, have to work with him to actually fix things, because that would be so emotionally complicated. Yeah.
That would be if it's a Nebula who gets it. That's just fascinating to me. I want to see that story.
I would imagine Gamora is going to be haunting him, he probably is not at
that
peace
was
with
absolutely
that.
Setting that up in the end. Yeah, when Gamora shows
and again,
up
and do we want to make speculation on who actually is not gonna come back?
Because I still think Cap's dying. Well, I was just like, oh, he's still around? Oh, okay. And then
they're
like,
either gonna
the
core people are either gonna die, or they're gonna get a Paul Walker Fast and Furious 7 where it's like, hey, I'm gonna be happy now. Bye bye. Right. Don't ever mention me again. Bye bye.
Yeah.
Like in Hawkeye.
Yeah, but I think if you didn't, all the Vanish people are coming back because they've got sequels. But Vision, I think Vision's donezo. And Loki and Heimdall are.
Do you think Iron Man's gone?
I think, either he's going to die in 4.
Or he's going to say goodbye.
Or he's going to be like, hey, I'm going to go have kids. Which that conversation weirded me out. Yeah, that was weird. Why is Tony so... There's a couple conversations that felt uncharacteristic. Like, why is Tony so obsessed with kids all of a sudden? Like, that feels not
him. I got the gist of that is that he, like, likes being a mentor to Peter so much. Yeah. It's kind of like, he Peter is immediately like, you're my dad now, yeah. sir. Like, it's just that.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like,
brought out. He did have the kid Iron Man 3.
Yeah. And yeah. I think it brought out the instinct of, like, oh, I would probably make a smart kid myself.
Not to be that guy, by the way, but if you're in your 50s, time for having kids, that ship sailed for
probably,
you.
Probably it's not.
Genetically, it's a little problematic. Like, yeah. Anyway,
he's
got super tech, so maybe he'll be able to do it. I'm just saying you might want to have had that conversation prior to
I wonder if they're going to introduce. I don't know if it's too modern. But if they're going to introduce like Riri,
you know what? Honestly,
to take over or
I think you've got a strong new Trinity in like Black Panther and Spider-Man and probably Captain Marvel, and you just retire. Either the only one that'd be cool moving forward is Bucky Cap. But
I'd like to see Bucky Cap.
I say you retire Thor, you retire Iron Man until 5 to 10 years until you feel comfortable recasting those roles.
Yeah,
and because. A lot of that stuff felt like market testing for me in the comics as opposed to like stories.
Oh, interesting.
Because like so in Avengers, they announced like, oh, Thanos is coming. And like the next summer, Marvel had like an event comic with Thanos as the bad guy. And they introduced his new henchmen, who are the henchmen in the movie. Those henchmen. You know what I mean? So now they get to say, well, they're from the comics. Yeah, but you introduced
them
in the comics
because of the movie.
You knew Thanos was coming. Like, come on, man. Like, you're not going to be able to trick me with that shit. Yeah. Come on. And they're fine. They show up. They look scary. The scariest one is Ebony Maw. When the guy that's the magic dude.
And
he's basically fighting half the Avengers on his own
and
barely moving.
Flicking his hand.
That was the one moment that I'm like, dear God, they're so outgunned here. These guys are so screwed.
Oh, quick question. Does Peter says what are those? Is he saying it to Doctor Strange's shoes or why did he say what are those?
What
are you talking about?
Spider-Man when he like is saving Doctor Strange from leaving the ship because from getting sucked out of the hole.
Yeah.
He says what are those?
The arms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was like arms. For a second I'm like you said the same line as Suri and then they never met and that made me real sad.
Yeah.
But
I'm
like
really
you have a moment where you say the same things.
I really want Peter to meet
Suri.
Yeah.
I always want side adventures. I'm like, I just want to see them hanging out. I think they would get along.
Yeah.
I saw somebody make like a jokey Twitter thread of them speaking in meme essentially.
Yeah.
And T'Challa's just like, I don't like what, and they're just trolling him and just shade at him the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't even know what you're saying. And I just like that idea of them just, like, I don't want them romantically. I just want them to, like, hang out.
Although I do definitely feel like Peter would get a crush on her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't... It's weird. I could see Peter liking her as of now, unless Peter does something very impressive.
Yeah.
I don't see...
Her being impressed with him.
Yeah.
And that makes it hilarious.
Yeah.
That's why so that makes you, that just makes like, me want it more.
I want to see that interaction, and I would like to... I mean, I'm sure, like, mind you, like, Peter's a sweet boy, so maybe at some point, it's just, he's a sweet boy.
Yeah.
But...
That's not a good reason to be with someone.
No.
No, it's not.
Did you guys see the... I might be way behind on this, but somebody was showing us at work today, the Anthony Mackie talking about Tom Holland.
No.
Oh, he just rips on him.
Nice.
Just like every interview he does.
Yeah.
Everything. And it's like apparently this inside joke between them where he's like, he is the most annoying piece of shit I've ever met. Such an asshole.
Oh.
He's the worst. Ever since he's been in Spider-Man, he has two agents that just follow him around all day. Yeah. And he just, so it's
here's
like,
here's the thing. I believe the two agents thing because you know, he like, they didn't give him the script, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Cause he can't keep his mouth shut about movies.
It sounds like the only
and
one
he spoiled movies. He spoiled the movie at an ArcLight the opening weekend.
Nice.
He went to ArcLight Hollywood and was at one of the screenings and like to come out and be like, "Hi, enjoy the movie." He spoiled that he died.
Yeah, nice.
To the audience before they saw the movie.
Cool.
Like just as like a
It sounds like the only person that got to read the whole script is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
He said some stuff where it sounds like he got to read the whole thing. And it's like, yeah, that probably would be the guy that would
get
to
that's
read the
guy
whole
that
thing.
You trust.
Yeah.
You trust Sherlock with the whole
script. Yeah, he's used to it from Sherlock.
Yeah.
Also,
like, yeah, I know what happened.
And also he's probably because he's
the one who saw.
Well, yeah, it matters. He needs to know.
Yeah.
The actor needs to know what's what's coming, which is good because Doctor Strange plays a big part in the comic too. So it was cool. It was a little weird because in the comic, it's like he is the Sorcerer Supreme. He's been doing this forever. In the movie, it's like, has it been a year? Have you been, you know what I mean? Like you're talking to Tony Stark like your peers, but you've been doing this like a week.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, I in my head, I'm like, you've had Time Stone. Like you could be existing for hundreds of years within a week.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still, his American accent really, like,
they should just
let
him be British, man.
Yeah, it's still
he'd
really
be so
distracting.
Much more, he'd be so much more authoritative.
Every time
British.
He was arguing with Tony in particular, it was so, that was when it was really jarring. Because I'm like, well, like Robert is definitely an American and it's very, like, that accent. And so hearing him talk to, like, I was like, you sound, and it honestly kind of kept taking me out of the movie with their moments. And I'm like, that's a bummer because I like these two.
So I didn't realize that I had never heard of him in an interview or anything. So I didn't know that he had an accent.
You never watched Sherlock?
You'd like that as
well. Oh, Benedict. I thought you were talking about, Tom Holland.
No.
Oh, no, Tom Holland is British.
Tom Holland is British.
Yeah, he's British. That's,
he's
I thought you were talking about Tom
he
Holland.
Has a great American accent.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
yeah.
I never got taken out of it. No, no, Benedict, yeah.
No, Benedict, every time Benedict talks, I'm like,
they
you sound
just
like
let him
a weird house.
Yeah.
Like
a weird
because his accent finally pointed out to me how weird House's accent is. Yeah. I never like, but mind you, like it took forever for me to realize Hugh Laurie was British.
Yeah.
Because he had a distinguished
but he has
weird
a weird voice.
But now he sounds like Weird House. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I would have liked I would have taken British Doctor Strange.
Yeah, British Doctor Strange would have been fine. And I kind of would have weirdly a little bit made more sense with the whole like Asian factor because like at least British has more of a history with like Orient kind of mysticism things. Still not great, still very problematic. I would have liked John Cho as Doctor Strange still. That would have been a cool
or Benedict Wong.
Why not?
Yeah, you can't be. We can't all be perfect.
Yeah, hey, we got our Black Panther.
Yeah,
we did.
They do need. So they do need. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but at this point, they do need like an Asian superhero.
Yeah, right.
They really
they need to. Like, you guys need to.
But what about Iron Fist, guys?
You need a Hispanic. Oh, don't get me started on that. Son of a bitch. I just had to rewatch it for a job.
It's
misery.
No, I'm sorry.
It's misery. Don't worry. We wrap back around. We're back into Daredevil and Jessica Jones. And
okay,
and that's. After watching Iron Fist, that's magic. Yeah. All that stuff is like stuff that you liked is now the best thing you've ever seen in the whole universe compared to that.
That's so funny.
It was also interesting because I've been a big proponent of like, why aren't the Defenders going to be in this movie? And then after seeing the movie, it's like, no, I get it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I get it. Thank God, actually.
I'm actually curious about what's going to happen with Agents. Like, I haven't kept up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, watching it. However, I have my friend Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
She said hi to Kelly.
Yeah. Hi, Kelly.
Yeah. She gives me like really intensive recaps.
Cool.
Of like what happens every like
they
month
did
or
their,
so.
They did their shout out to Infinity War. You want to hear what it is?
What was it?
It's real weird.
What was it?
So it was in the last. I literally just today watched last Friday's episode. And one of the guys is like, yeah, man, things are just crazy. Did you hear about what's going on in New York? She's like, Quake is like, I don't have time for that. And they move on. And it's like, I don't think that applies to. Because literally, I think like the next day, everybody vanishes. So I think you could have just let this one slide.
Yeah, I'm so curious because like I know they're dealing with their own time travel, timey-wimey,
weird
shit that's going on, which is good for the show for this because it's like they're on their own actual like time thing, future shit. So it's just like, oh, good, you're just not here. But I'm still curious. So like, I'm like, but.
And Daredevil's technically.
At some point, half the people have to disappear, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on how things are fixed. You know what I mean?
That's true because they could be.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Because it's not enough. It's not enough to just be like time has moved on and now these people are back. Because like in the meantime, planes have fallen out of the sky and everything.
Right.
Like so, you need to go back to the moment it happened.
You have to
and
go
be
back
like,
to before.
Be like backsies. Hold on.
I want a side scene of Hawkeye with his family, just like watching the
and
news,
they all vanish.
And then they all vanish, and he's just like
that.
Son
might be
a
bit much.
Bitch.
That might be too much. I kind of wanted watch knowing where they were going with it. I kind of wish they pull one of the. I never watched the Twilight movies, but one of the things I heard that they did with the fourth one is in the book, a character has a vision of how things could go bad and tells it, and just we don't see it, but they're like, guys, we need to fix this problem. in the movie, they punked their demographic by literally having a giant fight where like most of the main cast dies. People were losing their mind in the theater. And then you pull out and it's the person having a vision. They're like, guys, we need to undo this thing. And I wish I could have been in the theater for that moment.
Right.
I kind of wish, knowing with the Infinity Gauntlet and knowing half the people are vanishing, when Thanos is going to get the Mind Stone, I wish it was like, Cap, break his neck, throw him away. Like literally just rip people in half, because seconds later he uses the Time Stone to reverse the Mind Stone. So you could have literally had him just murder the entire Avengers.
That would have been amazing. Then I would have lost my mind.
And using the Time Stone to fix the Mind Stone, everybody comes back. And then he takes the Time Stone and snaps.
Yeah.
But then you have that moment. Because how magical would it have been? It was great. It was great. The second time I saw it, when like the audience I was with was amazing. When Bucky vanished, just like, and then Black Panther goes like, oh no, and then Groot, and they're like crying, and then Tom Holland gets his amazing moment where he's breaking your heart.
He's like,
but it's a little hollow, because you know they're just vanishing. Like, come on, they're gonna be back.
Yeah.
But if you had a moment where Thanos is just ripping people, that would, everybody would have fucking lost their mind. And that would have been amazing.
That would have been so cool.
You know, they had a conversation. There's some sort of market tested reason they didn't do it. You know, somebody brought that up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can we just have him murder everybody?
For children?
Yeah.
Like the children.
Can't really see this movie anyway. There's too many.
Children probably saw
this movie.
They probably shouldn't have, but they definitely did.
I feel under 8 is a little hard.
Every Drax joke in this movie is for 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I...
Hey, lots of people in my theater laughed real hard at those Drax jokes.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, everybody I've talked to really likes Drax. And so I think it's a me thing. I'm not... And it's not Dave Bautista. I think he's a very winning performer. I loved him in Blade Runner. I think he brings a lot to the role. I just don't like the way it's written. I never find Drax funny.
Yeah.
And especially now that, like...
He's hit or miss from... There's some things I think he does that are really funny, and there's something that just doesn't...
It's especially since, Mantis is the same joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mantis is the same character, basically.
That's why he's supposed to be literal.
Yeah.
Which is... That's...
And I also don't know why he's on the team. He hasn't helped in fights at all.
Well, he did...
He's basically
a bird. He does dive into shit and then rip them open from the inside.
He didn't, though.
He's like
they didn't help.
In the second one, he did.
No, but in the second one, he dives into the thing, but it doesn't help anybody. Yeah. And so it's like, at least have him, because there is in the comics, there's a version of Drax.
He's like a barbarian.
An idiot.
Yeah.
But the Drax, the way he's designed, it was kind of like the Wolverine of the team. So it's like, have him be a little more stoic. Have him be a little, because that's different. Like, half the Guardians are childlike idiots.
Right.
And it's like, that's, pare it down. Have that be Peter Quill.
Yeah.
That's fine. But have Drax be something else. And have, I don't know.
Yeah.
I in this movie I liked him, except when he's trying to convince him he was invisible. And then the other one that I didn't like where is Gamora? And then they're like, no, who is Gamora? And then Drax is like, why is Gamora? Why would he say that? What does that mean to him? What is that? Why? Like, other than somebody in a sitting on their computer is like, this is funny.
Yeah.
For that character, what the
why
fuck
is
he even
saying?
Saying?
Yeah,
like,
why,
yeah, what's happening right now? And then the other joke that is not Drax that I really hate is when Thor's like, he's going to do his thing. And then Peter Dinklage is like, wait, it'll kill you. He's like, not unless I die, which is fine. But it's the moment when they cut back to Peter Dinklage. He's like, yeah, that's what death means. Who is that for? Who is that moment for?
You know that Peter Dinklage got done with that line and then they called cut and he just put his hands in his head. And he's like, they know.
Yeah, they know that you could have just just cut back to him and be like,
that might,
what? And that's it. That's all you needed.
I wonder if that was like a studio thing where they're like,
I didn't
understand that joke.
You know,
add a line.
If it was a studio thing, that's better than the Thor's magic jacuzzi in Age of Ultron. So as far as studio things go, I'd rather have that Peter Dinklage joke than Thor's magical jacuzzi in Ultron. So I guess pick your battles. I guess the lesson to me is pick my battles.
The more I listen to you talk, the more I'm glad I didn't rewatch that.
It's weird. I liked it more. It's interesting because it's hard to fault the movie because, again, I've been trying to pay more attention to the themes. And it's hard to fault it because the theme is go big and accept that you're going to make mistakes. You know what I mean? Because Tony tries to make Ultron, but he's trying to do the right thing.
And that
screws him over. But then he does basically the same thing with Vision. Mm-hmm. And he gets it right, and for me, one of the most beautiful moments in the entire MCU. And again, it's hard for me to fault Ultron because it has one of my favorite moments in all of these movies ever. And it's when Vision confronts Ultron in the woods, and it makes me want to tear up. Like, I almost wish instead of the whole in the Avengers Infinity War trailers when they're like, we had a vision for a team. I wish it was this moment, where they're talking about humanity, and Ultron's like, they're doomed, and Vision's like, yeah. But nothing beautiful lasts forever. You know what I mean? And it's this really like, it's this idea that like, yeah, you're going to mess up and yeah, you might be doomed, but you should still try.
Yeah. Right.
You should still go out there and do it. Cause that's also when Hawkeye is giving Scarlet Witch the speech. Right. Like you need to come out and no matter what happens, once you decide to do it, you're an Avenger.
Right.
Being Avenger is deciding to try and do the right thing no matter the consequences.
Even if you fail.
And so the fact that the movie's flawed is almost the point of the movie.
Right.
So it's like, can I hate the movie for that? Like I can hate the movie because the Black Widow Hulk thing doesn't really make any sense.
Oh, yeah. God, no.
And this movie cemented for me, these movies should really try and avoid like deep expressions of love because it doesn't play. These movies are too light for that shit.
Yeah.
So like when, even though we've had two movies when Gamora's like, I love you more than anything else. It's like,
the romance in the movies are really all unintentional romances. Like the best romance in this is Captain and Bucky. And it's not like on purpose. Like people will be like, oh, you just want. And I was like, no. Like civil war. That was everything. He was risking everything for. It's like if you had said that was his boyfriend, I would be like, yeah, this makes sense. Like everything he did was truly out of love. You just have to say, oh, now it's romantic, and it would work.
And see that, but that's the thing is, people always assume love has to be romantic.
It works as like their best buds and friends, but like if you were trying to pick out a romance in this, the only ones are the ones that work with like the longest established friendships.
Because you're right. Because for me, the big best romance, and it plays here, is Tony and Pepper Potts. Because one, it's completely devoid of any arc declarations of like you're my soulmate or whatever.
Right.
It's mostly based on the fact that those two have great chemistry. They play really well off each other, and you really want to see them together. And it's weird.
I have zero interest in them.
Well, but this is the thing.
Like they're to me, like they have no chemistry.
Interesting. Yeah. No. I
like them a lot.
I like them a lot, and I like it, and I think it plays to these movies are so glib that I think it's better when you don't have those moments where you have to we basically get that Star-Lord and Gamora love each other.
Right.
When one of them makes a declaration about it in one of these movies, it's silly.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just there's a second. Oh, Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Right.
The whole like you're the love. It's like don't do that. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. She screams when he dies. We get it. Like, you know what sells that line? You know what sells their affection? And when he's like, when she's about ready to kill him, and he's like, it shouldn't be you. But basically, I'm glad it is. You can't hurt me, which doesn't make any sense. Actually, I don't really know what he means when you can't hurt me. All I feel is you. And I get that it's a callback to the earlier conversation, but I don't really know what he means by it. Either, but that, without saying, you don't need the character to say, I love you. You don't need to say that.
No,
you mean the world to me. That moment, it's like, oh, I get what they mean to each other.
Right.
That's there. Because any other time, it's supposed to be a big old thing. Like one of the worst lines on Ultron is when Black Widow's like, I adore you more than anything else. And then she pushes Bruce Banner off of a cliff to make him Hulk.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's like, what's happening right now? Like,
the only time I bought Hulk and Black Widow's romance is in Ragnarok when he's like,
freaking out when he sees her.
And he sees her on the screen.
Yeah.
And he calms down. And I was just like, oh yeah, that's a thing. And then I was just like, oh, I'm kind of glad. Like that, it was a sweet moment for that to be what centers him and brings him back. And I'm like, that felt believable.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I have like nothing else to kind of lead up to that. But I don't know how he did it in that one scene where I'm like, if I didn't know who she was, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like, it still registers like he cares about that person.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it was actions and not declarations.
Yeah, big
love.
Like,
yeah.
I adore you. Don't do that. Yeah. That's silly. That's stupid.
I'm a monster. Why would you love? I cannot have a child.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dumb.
I'm pretty sure, like, Banner's like, I'm pretty sure I can't have kids either.
Yeah,
seriously.
Probably not a good idea.
They'd probably be really weird.
that baby gets really grumpy when it's like, hungry. Yeah. And just,
I remember when I first watched Winter Soldier, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad Cap and Black Widow's relationship is more like a friendship thing.
Oh, I know that they're bros.
Rewatching it and knowing Ultron's coming up, it's like, actually, I'd rather have these two together than Black Widow and Hulk. Because I think it's a better dynamic. Yeah. I think they've got a better rapport.
So it was so funny because I was watching it and I saw... and I saw them standing next to each other, and I paused it for a second, and I was like, "Why do I know this?" And then I realized it was because they were in a very similar pose as Perfect Score.
Yeah, they were in two movies together, Perfect Score and some sort of like the Nanny Diaries or something like that. Like early 2000s, they're both like super young.
And Perfect Score, he's like super skinny, but they for some reason the moment where like one of them was turned one way and one was turned the other way, and I was like, I had deja vu. And
yeah.
Why do I know this moment? And I was like, I think this is the movie. And I looked it up because I barely remember.
Yeah.
I have a question called. For you guys.
Yeah.
In this movie, what character interactions do you wish, outside of like kind of like Spidey and Siri, like do you wish had been able to happen? Like, who would you have wanted to actually?
Yeah, I really want, and I'll probably get this for the next one. So I probably won't. In a year, I'll be happy. I want to see Cap and Iron Man figure out their issues. Yeah. I really want somebody. I love Cap. He's one of my favorite. I think the two best characters other than Black Panther Rising Quickly are Iron Man and Cap. I really want somebody to call Cap on his shit. You know what I mean? Because we make a big deal about all the mistakes Tony's made, but like,
yeah, but
Cap's fucked some shit up, and we need mistakes. To like, we Especially somebody needs Civil to War. Like, yeah. I want somebody to look at him and be like, listen, you're no compromise bullshit. Cost us S.H.I.E.L.D. Cost us the Avengers. Theoretically, the world's toast because you fucked up our institutions.
Yeah.
So maybe dial it back a little bit on it's all or nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we could have fixed these things without you blowing them up. But I want that. Spidey and Shuri.
I wanted a little bit. It would have been really interesting to me to see Black Widow and Bucky.
Yeah, I want more of Black Widow and Okoye. They fight, which that is cool. But like, I want to see him like hang out. Yeah. Like, I want to see him like.
Yeah, yeah.
I mostly like I want Bucky and Black Widow hang out because they went through the same programs.
You might end up being happy with the rumors of the new Black Widow movie are true.
Oh, so yeah. that he was her teacher?
No, maybe.
I mean, that would be like my ideal because I'm like, there's some time. I mean, he's 100 years old.
Yeah.
They would wake him up to do shit and then put him back to sleep. I would love the idea that he like was woken up. Taught some Black Widows, put back to sleep. And it's that's like your teacher.
She made some oblique references to knowing him outside of the situation. Like there's a scene in Civil War where she's beating up on him. She's like, well, at least remember me, which theoretically could apply to Winter Soldier, but it doesn't feel like that. And in the comics, they actually have a romance.
Oh.
Which I would actually be interested in seeing them explore. But I'm fine with that. The rumors are that there's a Black Widow movie on the horizon, which... Again, rewatching them after watching Iron Man 2, it's like, how was the next movie not Black Widow?
How
like,
was it not? Yeah, I thought that so many times.
But
rewatching
that, it's going to be a prequel, and that Winter Soldier is going to brainwash Winter Soldier is going to be in it, which I'm all for.
I wanted to see that dynamic. I wanted Peter Quill to go on Earth before Groot. Like just cause
I wanted Peter Parker and Groot to just chill.
Yeah.
I wanted that.
That'd be cool.
Just like Peter Parker and Groot just hanging out. Like, because they're both teenagers. I just wanted them to hang out just for my own satisfaction.
Looking at interactions that I enjoyed that we got, even though I'm not the biggest Guardians fan, I really like the scene where Thor shows up on the Guardian ship.
Yeah.
And Peter's immediately like, threatened by his
masculinity. Yeah. Yes.
Because of course you would. Like, look at Chris Hemsworth. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think the
one sandwich away from a thing was I was like, ooh, is that that feels like a real?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Because in that moment, you look at Star-Lord and like, he isn't looking as thin as he was in Guardians 1. Right, I mean, maybe they're saying something. I don't know.
But he's also been known to say like he misses being fat.
Yeah.
He's not fat.
In case you're listening, Chris Pratt, we love you. You're not fat.
No, you're beautiful. You're a beautiful man.
You're not as beautiful as Chris Hemsworth, but I mean, who is, honestly?
Yeah, that's a rare breed.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Possibly Chris Evans, depending on your taste, although they're both blue eyed.
No, they're both named Chris, too. They're all beautiful.
Yeah.
Told you my favorite Chris?
Yeah. Who's your favorite Chris?
Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's my favorite
Can
Chris.
Can I be honest with you? Rewatching the movies, Ant-Man's one. It's a good heist movie, and it's one of the ones that's contained, but it's so contained, and I'm actually really excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp, but it's a funny one.
And that's why I didn't know if you're gonna like it because it was like a but it's actually Guardians. It's smart humor.
Well, it's something. It's more grounded. Like Paul Rudd is so talented that he says those jokes, but I believe a person would say what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas everything in the Guardians is tuned up to 11.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't when those movies ask me to cry. It's like I don't believe in any of these people as people. So I don't care. I don't care that Yondu's died. It's like if the Wile E. Coyote were just giving him a space funeral. I don't care. Like
I loved everything about Ant-Man until like the end of it. I just wanted one change, which is I wanted essentially Ant-Man and Wasp in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like just give her the Wasp suit so she's part of the heist.
Yeah.
And she saves her company.
I like that.
And then he could still have his arc with he goes to his daughter and does the thing. Like it's just literally just add her to the fight. She saves her business.
Yeah.
And he could still. Yeah,
have you seen the new trailer?
I watched one trailer.
There's one that just came out today as of this recording.
I only right now my thing with the movies is whatever the first trailer comes out, I watch that one. And I don't watch any of the other ones.
Good, because I think it showed too much, honestly. But yeah, they make no bones about the fact that Wasp is significantly more capable than Ant-Man is.
Good,
yeah, yeah.
That's great.
But it looks
just
really good.
It was just like it's. I mean, it's a trope in those movies, and like somebody they're like, yeah, it's the same trope as in Lego movie,
where the girl's more capable.
Yeah,
like,
and then they're just like, but you're special.
Yeah, like they're like throwing the bone. They're like, hey, we know the guy's the lead again, but the girl's cooler theoretically, but we're not going to show her doing that.
Yeah.
And like, but in this, Ant-Man and Wasp was like, no, she's cooler.
Good.
She's cooler. No, I'm looking forward, but I like Ant-Man a lot, and I like Paul Rudd a lot, and I just like, I think he just really grounds it in a really believable way. So I'm excited and for that he gets to come around.
Yep.
Theoretically.
I wanted Edgar Wright to direct that movie so bad.
But again, having some distance and seeing it again, I still really like what we got.
I do too. Really, no, absolutely. It's a great movie. I just like looking at it and like rewatched a bunch of Edgar Wright stuff recently, and I just wanted it. It's just, yeah. It would have been so cool.
It
would have
been good.
It's interesting though. I think it's tough for me to think like, what interactions would you want? Cause thinking back on it now, it's like, I got them all in Civil War. Like Civil War is literally all of my favorite of these characters. Without any of the ones that I don't really like that much. And they're all bouncing off each other in interesting ways that matter to the story. And it's not too much. And so it's like, it's tough because I got it. Like, Cap, Black Widow, mm-hmm. Iron Man, Black Panther, Spider-Man. They're all in Civil War.
Yeah.
Ant-Man, they're all there.
Ant-Man, yeah.
I'm good. Do I need the Guardians?
Man,
fine with Thor, but I don't need it.
That part where they're all marching towards each other.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if this movie tops that. I don't know if this movie has a moment.
I don't know if it does either. That was
I'm
kind of cool
hoping the fanboy in me, and again, this might be like my Defenders thing where it's like I eat my words once I actually see the final product, but I kind of hope we fix people being erased. They're all back, and they're like, we need to punch the hell out of Thanos or whoever it is. And it's like, listen, everybody, I like maybe Cap does his speed. He gets on a microphone that the whole world can hear. It's like, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are, but we need you right now. And you just get a montage or like, you know, one of those big splash pages where it's everybody.
Right.
And in that, like, we don't need interactions. We don't need backstory. We don't need anything. But in that, it's the Avengers, the Guardians, the Defenders, literally everybody, everybody that they have the rights
Deadpool.
To, everybody they have the rights to gets to show up for that one snapshot. Listen, here's
poster.
Everybody,
you want the
everybody.
Poster.
And they blow all their money on that, and the rest of the movie is like an hour because they blew it all on that 15 minutes that all those characters are there.
What if they did a 90-minute Avengers Infinity War 2?
Yeah.
Just pulled a 90-minute, you know.
Listen, guys, we spent all the money on the first one. Did you see it? It was so expensive.
We have 90 minutes for this
one. Yeah, we blew it all, dude.
You get like 4 interactions, 90 minutes. We're an hour and a half, so wrap it up. But
it's a lot of movie.
It's a lot of movie to talk about.
I've talked about it like 3 or 4 times, and there's still things to like talk about.
I know
still
at find some point it, yeah. I need to see it again.
Yeah,
but I think I'm gonna wait until it's in like a slightly cheaper movie theater.
Yeah, I went to one of the when I saw it again. It was one of those matinee showings for like $8.
Yeah, I want
to
do one of those.
Yeah. And again, the audience was great. It was good. I'm glad I resaw it too, since I've talked about it more, because my first feelings were overall a little bit more negative, and because I went in expecting a different movie. They were pitching this movie as like, this is it. This is the finale.
Yeah.
We wrap everything up
right,
here.
And
even though intellectually I knew there was a sequel.
Yeah,
and so I was like, now knowing it's like a middle chapter, going in knowing it's a middle chapter, enjoyed it more.
Right.
And enjoyed it for what it was more. But yeah, and also good thing for this movie, I don't know about most people, but now because there is so much, when I think back on it, my mind gravitates to the things I did like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it kind of like, I kind of forget that the things I didn't like were in there. Like honestly, the first like 20 to 30 minutes from Thor's ship to New York to back on the ship is basically perfect in my opinion. Like that first 30 minutes, I'm in. Like I'm sold.
Yeah.
It's not until like once the Guardians show up that things start to become just scattered enough that it's like it starts losing me because there's so much happening. But like that first moment is like this. I don't know about you guys in theater. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, the whole
opening. The stuff with Loki so in the beginning good. Was just like, oh, you're going for it. Okay, yeah. I was like, all right. I was like,
seeing Hulk get his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Like, okay. No. Cool.
Yeah.
No.
And you had that. Yeah. That moment where Hulk is just getting fucking beat the shit out of, and you're like, oh, this is the stakes are real here.
Yeah. Oh, this, okay. Last,
the stakes
I know
real.
We're wrapping up, but last question, because now that you brought it up, I was like, what'd you guys think of Hulk not popping up?
It's weird. I don't mind he's not popping up the way that like Hulk saying no. It's like, what the
What's going on here? Yeah. I don't know Marvel well enough. Is he his own character?
I guess now.
Again,
comics, it's like most things depends on the writer, right? Okay. But in this situation, I never got that impression in these
movies. I didn't either at all.
Until maybe a little bit Ragnarok.
Ragnarok, they kind of implied that he was split his personality then.
And I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if I love childlike Hulk.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know if I like that it's like, oh, you went with a kid. I guess that's better than like scary Hulk. Like,
I thought he wasn't coming out because he thought Thor was dead. And I thought that was because Hulk had an emotional connection with Thor.
That would be better than what I think it is because he got his ass handed to him and he's scared to fight. And it's like, that doesn't sound like Hulk.
So I was just like, oh, like his friend died. And this guy who kicked his ass killed his friend. It's a thing. Like, why is he going to come out? But then Thor shows up at the end and Hulk does not come out. And I'm like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
You know what it should be? Hulk is sad that Loki got killed because he had an emotional connection to beating the shit out of Loki in Avengers.
I take it. I just wanted to not be. I lost the fight, so I don't want to come out anymore.
You know what? I hope you're right. I hope it is different than that because that doesn't feel like Hulk at all. Yeah, man. It feels like you lose a fight, you'd be even more angry. If anything, Hulk should be bigger than he normally is and like ripping people in half and eating them and shit. Like, wow. Somebody needs to tell the Hulk to calm down.
But man, that part in Avengers, again, I just recently rewatched it, so it's fresh, but where he grabs Loki and just
wails him.
Yeah. Oh, it's tough, so man. Good. It's tough because that's kind of the benchmark I hold this movie to is Avengers and Civil War.
Yeah.
Because it's the same, like, hey, listen, everybody, everyone's showing up for this one.
Yeah.
And it's just what everyone means is different depending on how far the movies have been.
Yeah.
And it's just so seamless and so easy. And so, I don't feel like this movie and it kind of overcame the idea of brand synergy to tell a story.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this movie did that as well as those movies, because to be fair, it's a miracle that those movies did it as well as
incorporating that many lead characters is hard, let alone 60
twice as many. Yeah. Like, it's nuts.
20 main characters and 60 overall, like, supporting characters.
I guess
I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Hoping that they don't bring them all back right away.
No, it looks like it's the core Avengers team, barring a Hawkeye and adding an Ant-Man and a Groot and a Captain
Hawkeye's
Marvel.
Definitely not coming back.
I don't. Well, probably because he didn't show up in this one.
Here's the thing. I like Hawkeye because of the comic. Like, the after Avengers, they made a really good comic series with Hawkeye.
Matt Fraction and David Aja, right?
Yeah, it's so good. And it made me the movie one way more. Like, I like calling him Hawk Guy, too, because that's what he's called in the book by some side characters, because they're just like, it's Hawk Guy.
Yeah, I want them to.
Oh. So, like, I love that so much. And so they imply that book is the same character from the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same kind of like after New York and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So, and of course it gets splits, but like that's Hawkeye to me. And I'm like, so when he's not in the movie, I'm like, but that guy, that was interesting. Why wouldn't you come bring him? So,
since he wasn't
it.
In this one, he'll probably be in the last one. Cause again, it's the core team.
I really like Hawkeye, but I like ranged weapon. Like whenever I play something, I like playing the dudes that have the bow and arrows.
Yeah,
so I think I'm just naturally drawn to
Hawkeye,
dude with the bow and arrow.
I like Hawkeye in Civil War. I wasn't sold on him until Civil War, and then it's like, oh, I like this guy.
Good.
I'm hoping they introduce Kate Bishop.
Ooh, that'd
I think
be great.
Kate should.
Yeah.
The only replacements I want, I'd love to see Bucky become Cap because I like that version of Cap, and I'd like to see Kate Bishop as Hawkeye. Everybody else can just take a nap for a minute, and we can focus
okay
on our Black
that.
Panthers
yeah.
and our whatever. But I'd like to see Kate Bishop in there, especially since this Hawkeye's older. So the idea of having him have a mentee makes sense, especially he's retiring to retire. So it's like, hey, teach your skills to a young one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, dope.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Super cool.
Ooh, give me my young Avengers. Give me my Kate Bishop, my Spider-Man,
so we'll probably,
my Suri, my all. Give me, like, let's just make that team. I want that movie now.
Yeah, so four we'll probably get core team plus Ant-Man, Rocket, and Captain Marvel, and I and Wasp, and hopefully that's it. Hopefully, because that's enough. That on its own is enough.
Yeah. Well, that's enough new characters, too, that it's like they're going to have to do some development. Like, the nice thing about Infinity War is that so many of the characters are already established. They didn't have to do much backstory work. Where it's like they're introducing that many new characters, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little more work to get them up to speed. So they definitely need to reduce the amount of characters that are being that are in the movie so that they can like Avengers. Like they did the four movie, you know, they did the original, but then they gave them, they had the time to give them more backstory and to really learn who these people were together because it was just them.
Yeah, and it's good too because I don't know about you watching it, but like halfway through it's like, they can't kill Cap in this movie because it would be so lame.
Right.
He's got like two lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, this feels so not unmotivated, but like like it would just
anticlimactic.
Feel anticlimactic. Where it's like, oh, okay, well, the guy.
Yeah,
we
when they
sapped
Tony, I was just like, oh, I thought it was gonna be Cap.
Yeah, and
felt
so
like I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no. So I'm glad that we maybe get a chance to focus on these guys that are leaving.
Yeah,
and probably leaving. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. has been doing this forever.
Yeah,
at this
point. Been doing it for way too long. They just want to get the fuck out. I mean, the money's good.
He's not Hugh Jackman level yet, though. Maybe amount of movies he is.
Yeah.
Maybe amount of movies he's done it.
I think the number.
Yeah. But. It's not the years, it's the mileage.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and give us your comic again? Because if people have listened this long and they want to go on and do that, they might have forgotten by now because we talked so long about Infinity War.
If you think Avengers Infinity War is the biggest crossover event of check out Chaos Theory Zombies vs. Dinosaurs at chaostheorycomic.com.
That's it.
Or if you go to Kickstarter and type in Chaos Theory, it should pop up. It's zombies, it's dinosaurs, it's aliens. It's just
spoilers.
It's and even more than that, there's so much in there. It was me just putting every crazy idea I could think of into one comic and just having a blast. And hopefully, it seems like people have been having a blast reading it. So hopefully, it'll be a lot of fun. And again, for your listeners, if you contribute $25 or up, make sure you pick a tier. Don't just do $25. Like pick what you want. And in the comments, say, hey, I'm from We Stayed Late. I'll make sure that you get the postcard map that Star designed.
You guys better do it. Don't make us look bad.
Don't make me look bad, guys.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I'm excited. I'm excited for you guys to hopefully read.
Awesome. Okay. And you have your own podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah. Only Stupid Answers. Yeah. You can go to onlystupidanswers.com for new episodes, videos we do, all the places you can listen. We've got a live show. When is this show? When does this episode go up?
It goes up Thursday.
Quick.
Thursday.
So, damn it. Sam's the one that remembers this stuff. It should be Tuesday, May 8th. We're doing a live show in LA.
That's awesome.
You can go,
where are you doing
go to it's at Open Space.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go to the website, there's a banner that you can click on and you can get tickets to that. And there's like that left. It's like there's
go
a, and,
now.
Yeah, and it. So we're doing it. We're doing a thing. Smodcast is going to be there. Sam
cool.
and Maude.
Nice.
Dynamic Banter is going to be there. Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's great.
I got a lot going on.
Yeah, I know you too.
I need to take a nap.
Phenomenal. and where can people find you on Twitter too?
At DJ Talks Trash.
Awesome. And then Star, where can people find you?
You can find me at StarlineX on Twitter, but kind of Starlene.
Nice. Starlene?
Yeah.
Starlene, we've talked about this.
Starlene.
I do it every now. It's like a thing. It's just like you find me at, like,
Spelled Starline, pronounced Starlene. You can find me at Spencer Stark, SpencerStarke. Thank you so much, CJ, for coming.
Thank you for
really
having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. Always good talking to you.
By the time I'm done
so
talking
much.
About this movie, I'm gonna have thoroughly worked out all my feelings on it. I'm gonna know exactly
Dude,
how
like
I feel
therapy.
About this movie.
This
it
like
kind of is.
It's so good. Okay. Well, we'll check back in once Infinity
Thanks,
War
man.
2 comes out.
Yeah.
And we'll see how you feel after that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Bye.